Welcome to the Community Christian Church Aurora podcast. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at 78 South LaSalle Street, downtown Aurora. For more information, go to our website at communitychristian.org/Aurora.
Well, good morning again. Thank you for being here. And I just want to start by saying, like, what a difference a week makes. Last week, it was just December 1st, and now we're like in full Christmas season, and I love, you know, what we see. I love the sights of the lights, of everything that we see in the city and in our homes. And who decorated their homes already? Did anybody decorate it before Thanksgiving? No, okay. No, so we're not. Oh, you did. Oh, my God. Okay. But I like to see the lights. I like to the smell, too, right? The cookies that are being baked and the delicious food. I mean, I'm just getting hungry just from thinking about it. But Christmas also has a sound. Christmas also has a sound. I mean, when else but in Christmas we hear something like this. Let's hear this. See? It's like Santa is around the corner. I think Santa is coming to town. Or who doesn't love to just be like really warm, drinking hot cocoa, listening to something like this. Maybe you know the song. Sing it if you know it.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Come on, sing it.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
It's beautiful, right? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But of course, no other sound captures the reality of Christmas like this one. I'm gonna let it play a little bit more. I love that. It's the reality of Christmas for a lot of us, is that we sound like Christmas is coming to an impending doom. Like, because we want Christmas to sound like bells and like chestnut roads, but let's be honest. Many times, Christmas sounds more like anxiety, like uncertainty and fear. And if we are honest, we not only live Christmas like that, but we live most of the year like that, with that soundtrack playing in the back, in the background. We feel anxious and concerned about what the future may bring, especially the end of the year when a lot of us look back, right? A lot of us look back and start seeing what the year brought, and we start thinking and we start to wonder about the future. Maybe today you are here and you feel anxiety about your job. Maybe you haven't found a job, or maybe you recently changed jobs, or maybe you're wondering what's going to happen with my job, or maybe you feel anxiety about your kids. You know that your kids are growing, or maybe they're grown up, and you're wondering about their future. What decisions are they going to make? Or maybe it's your finances. Maybe you're not only concerned about the future, but not even know like how you're going to make it for Christmas. And so if we're honest this Christmas, as much as we want to sound all cheery and all beautiful, many, many of us are concerned. And we're scared, and we have uncertainty about the future. But my hope today and my prayer today is that even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of difficult situations, that we might have faith, that we will discover that there is a reason for faith. And so we're in this series that we call BC, Before Christmas, and it's all about the story of God and His people before Christmas, before the birth of Jesus. And there was this time called the Time of the Kings. And God spoke to people through messengers that they called prophets. And prophets have names like Micah, Jeremiah, Malachi. And the prophet that we're going to study today, that we're going to lean in today, his name is Isaiah. And so God would send these prophets to specific times, to specific locations, to bring words of wisdom, words of directions, words of encouragement, and a lot of the times, words of warning to people. And what the prophets had to say was, it was so important. Now, you would think that the kings would listen, but many of the times they would not listen. And there's consequences because of that. So we know that after the reign of King Solomon, the kingdom is divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians. And then years later, the southern kingdom fell to the Babylonians. And then in the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of all of these situations, we find Isaiah. And I have a friend who's going to tell us a little bit more about Isaiah.
Plus 1,000 years before Christmas, around 930 BC, Israel split into two kingdoms led mostly by bad kings. So God sent the prophets to speak words that were true, but nobody listened, and the kingdoms fell through. From Jerusalem came a prophet, Isaiah was his name, who watched the north crumble and thought, "What a shame!" And then came the day his king Uzziah died. Uncertainty filled the land, and the anxious people cried. But even in the middle of this very scary place, God spoke through Isaiah and gave him reason for his faith.
So Isaiah starts his role as a prophet, and we find these words in Isaiah 6. And he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died." And I want to make a pause here, because if you ever read a passage, sometimes we miss these little details or these little things that are there, but are there for a reason. And this is an important detail that sometimes we just fly past. It says that King Uzziah was a very popular king. And the time where he was king, more than 50 years, he brought a lot of prosperity. He brought a lot of peace. The things were going super well. Things were going in the right direction. And then we find Isaiah saying that he died. That this king died. King Uzziah died. And it now is throwing people into a period of uncertainty. They wonder, what now? What's next? What's going to happen? I mean, when we read the story of Israel and we look back, they have had so many bad kings. That finally there's a good king that is doing good, that is doing a lot of reformation, is doing a lot of things, and is bringing prosperity to the southern kingdom. And everything was good. And now all of a sudden, this king dies. I mean, his death brought so much uncertainty. And not only that, but there were also enemies. As we were listening, the Assyrian kingdom, the Assyrian empire, they were getting so strong. And now they were so vulnerable because they didn't have a king. They were open for this army to come and destroy them. Uncertainty often opens the door to anxiety. And now this entire nation is feeling that way. I know that as a nation, we have experienced times of uncertainty. As a nation, this nation has seen many, many periods of uncertainty. And I can just say a day, for example, September 11, 2001. Who remembers that day? We can actually remember exactly what we were doing that day. I remember I was young and beautiful, I would say that. I was crossing the border from Mexico to the United States because I was going to college in the United States. And I remember the line to cross usually takes between 35 to 40 minutes to cross. But that day, it stopped completely. Completely. And those 45 minutes turned into 2 hours of waiting just to cross. And we were wondering, like, everyone was in panic mode. Like, what's happening? Why is the line not moving? What is going on? And I remember getting with the immigration officer and showing him my documents, and they like searched me completely. They searched my car. Everything was so in chaos. And we wonder, what's next? What's going to happen next? And just as we experience those things as a nation, I think that we also experience those moments personally as well. When something happens, circumstances that alter our lives, like losing a loved one. Like spending the first Christmas after someone has passed away. And you're wondering, how are we going to make it? Maybe a kid moving away. Events that open the door to more uncertainty. And we wonder, just like we wonder as a nation, and just as they wonder as a nation back then, we wonder, what's next? What now? What's going to happen now? And so that's what the people are wondering when Isaiah came, when King Uzziah died. And in the midst of that, Isaiah comes and he comes with a vision of a king. And I want to continue reading what we read in Isaiah 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and in the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is so amazing because in the midst of their wondering, what are we going to do now that we don't have a king? What are we going to do now that King Uzziah had died? Isaiah sees a prophecy, sees a vision of another king, of a higher king, a powerful king, a king who's never going to die, a king whose glory is going to fill the whole earth, a king whose kingdom will never end. And when Isaiah sees this powerful vision of the king, he not only sees it sitting on the throne, but also he saw the king in a cradle. As we turn the page to Isaiah 7, we find these words. And he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah says, a king is coming, and he's going to be with us. He's going to be born out of a virgin. And who is this king? Well, at Christmas, we celebrate this king. King. Matthew, the author of the first book of the New Testament, actually quotes the prophet Isaiah when he tells the story about Jesus. And it's been about 700 years that have passed by. And at last, the king has come. And this is how Luke, the writer and historian, tells us the story. He says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man, Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are calling him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Then she wonders, how is this going to be? Mary asks the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The prophecy came to be true. It's been 700 years, and now the king has come, born of a virgin, and his name is Jesus. In a world that was full of chaos and uncertainty, Jesus came as powerful, righteous, and eternal king. Even though it was far away, Isaiah saw it. He said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the greatness of his government, and peace there will be no end. Let's just imagine that for a moment. The people have been waiting for 700 years for this to come true. And finally, this day has come. The King Jesus is born of a virgin in the midst of chaos and uncertainty in the first century. And I love to imagine what was happening there. I mean, you are walking with Jesus and you're seeing him doing amazing things. He's healing the sick. He's feeding the masses. He has actually brought someone from the dead. He seemed unstoppable. And so these people are thinking, finally, someone has come. Someone has come that can fix everything. Their days of uncertainty were over. They were thinking the king had come. And for a moment, they were thinking, no one can stop this. No one can stop what's happening. But then we see that chaos returned. And now Jesus, this king, this promised king, is now facing trial before the Roman government. He's facing trial. And he's accused ironically for being a king. Listen to what John has to say. He says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied, your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. I mean, just think for a moment. For Jesus' followers, their worst nightmare came true. The uncertainty that the people of Israel felt when King Uzziah died is nothing compared to the uncertainty and the fear that they are feeling now. You imagine the pain in their stomach, that gut feeling in their stomach, that everything they have hoped for, now it seems that everything is going to go two ways. The King of Kings was being trialed, beaten, and humiliated. And there's something that happens. The Pilate soldiers then twisted together a crown of thorns, and they placed it on Jesus' head. And they bowed before him, and they mocked him. They were saying, oh, hell, King of the Jews. They taunted, they slapped his face, and then they took him to the cross. So much for a Christmas story, right? So much for a Christmas story. But I hope that today, in the midst of all of this, we can see that there's a reason for faith. And let me tell you why. There are two different Greek words that describe the word crown, that is translated into crown. One of them is diadema, or diadema. This is the king's crown. Maybe you've heard in a hymn that says, they crown him, bring the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. And it would make sense that they would use this word because they were mocking his kingship. But it's not this word that they use. There's another word that is, it's the word Stephanos. And Stephanos is not the word that is used to describe a king's crown. But actually, it's a crown that is twisted with laurels and ivy, and it's the crown that they would give to the champions in the Greek games, the Olympics. This isn't a king's crown. This is a victor's crown. So picture this. What it seems like utter defeat, what it seems like everything that they have hoped for was going away, Jesus is wearing a crown. And he's wearing a victor's crown. The symbol that was used to, they were intended to mock him and to humiliate him, is actually a symbol of victory. And let me tell you, that is the reason for our faith. Because in the midst of everything that we might be going through, and in the midst of every uncertainty that you may be facing today, there stands a king. There stands a king, and he's wearing a victor's crown. This is the one whom John writes in the book of Revelation. He says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what does that mean for us in 2019? December of 2019, the end of the year. What does that mean for us? Well, let's be honest. We're not strangers to uncertainty and to stress and to chaos. We're familiar with those things. And maybe that soundtrack of Jaws is like the theme music of your life. We sometimes fear. Sometimes we're fearful. And we don't even know what we're fearful of. Sometimes we just have this sense that something is about to happen and we cannot even explain it. Too often we carry the burden of anxiety because of relationships or jobs or finances. And you know, I thought that as I grew older, my worries were going to kind of like disappear. And when I was younger, I had a lot of worries. And I said, when I'm almost 40. So I thought, when I'm 40, I'm going to be free of worries. But I discovered that as I grow older, like, worries are still there. Even they get worse. And I remember having Michelle in my arms, and she's been a baby and beautiful baby. And now she's growing up, and now she's facing decisions, and she's asking questions, and she's growing. And sometimes I wonder, and even though I pray and I trust God that she's going to make the right decisions, I sometimes worry, like, is she going to make the right decisions? Is she going to go and do what she's called to do? Even I'm thinking, is she going to marry the right guy? And I know that you may be thinking, well, you're exaggerating. Like, she's 12 years old. But any parent who is here who has grown up kids will tell you how fast they grow up. Anyone who has grown up kids, they will tell you that you never stop being a parent. And then a piece of your heart goes with your kids wherever they go. And you start to realize that you have less and less control over your kids. And you wonder and you worry. And so maybe you're here today and that doesn't apply to us. Maybe you don't have kids or you have other concerns. You have other worries. But the reality of things is that life seems to be closing around us. And you feel the pressure of every day. And sometimes even we're not physically alone. We have people around us. But emotionally, we feel alone. We feel like no one understands what we're going through. We feel like the situation that we're going through, even though there's people around us, we feel like no one is there to care for us. And we wonder and we ask, what's next? But let me tell you this, when life feels that way, we have to remember that we have a king that is always wearing a victor's crown. And Jesus is saying to you today, I wore a crown of victory even as I took on the cross. I removed the stone after the grave was sealed and shut. And God is saying to you, I will stand with you in the midst of every situation that you may be going through. Because this is the promise that God says in His word to us. And the promise that He says is that I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. That is the promise of Jesus this season for our life. So let me ask you this Christmas season. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Will we choose to trust God in the midst of everything that we're going through? There's a person, his name is Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch watchmaker. And he fought to free the Jews during the Holocaust and spent time in concentration camps. And he wrote this, and he said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Why am I saying this? Because you might be going through very difficult times today. And I just want to be honest with you. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have a quick fix for you. But what if today we decide to follow that advice? What if today, in the midst of the darkest time that you might be going through, what if today, in the midst of uncertainty and stress and the many things that you might be experiencing today, what if we today just sit down and trust the engineer? What if we just sit down and trust that God is in control? What if we sit down and just trust that God will take us through? Because we have a king. He's victorious. And He's with us. He promised to never leave us and never abandon us. So I want to take this time. We're going to take the next minute and a half. And I just want to invite you to close your eyes. We're going to be in stillness in this room. And I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I just want you to think, what are some of the things that worry you today? What are some of the things that are concerning, that are oppressing you, that are over your life? So I just want to think about those things. Now I want you to go ahead and acknowledge those things before God. Acknowledge those things. Say, God, I am worried about my future. I am concerned about my marriage. I am worried about my kid. I am worried about my health. I am worried, should I move? Should I stay? Would you acknowledge what you're going through before God? Now I want to invite you, would you acknowledge that in the midst of the darkest time that you might be going through, that Jesus is King? Would you say, God, I have no idea what the future holds, but I know that you hold the future in your hands. God, I put my trust in you. You are King over everything, over my life, over my life, God. Can you hear him speak to you today? Can you feel him? Can you sense his presence telling you that everything is going to be all right, that you may not understand the situation that you may be going through, but that he is there, he's Emmanuel, God with us, and his promise is that he's always going to be with us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God, we acknowledge your presence in this place. I want to invite you to please rise if you're able. And I want you to pray this with me. Pray it with me. Say it. Father. Say it with me. Father, I lay down all my worry, all my uncertainty before you. I recognize that you are my King in the chaos, and I have faith in your victory. Amen.